Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. To the Lord that he has granted us one more day in the land of the living, that he has allowed us to be on this side of the grave this morning. Praise the Lord. The Bible said, let everything that have breath praise ye the Lord. Everything that have breath praise ye the Lord. So we are absolutely grateful that our Lord has granted us this opportunity to come and break bread. Hallelujah. Some people were here on yesterday, on last night, but they are no longer here today. They have crossed over into a now into a new dimension, into a new space, spiritual space. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this great day that you have granted us. The sun is shining, the wind is blowing, and the water is clear. We ask, O God, that you would speak to us, O God, by your Spirit, that you would allow us to hear from heaven. And oh Father God, I pray that even as my esophagus is kind of clouded up right now, that you would clear my esophagus, that I'd be able to speak clearly as I seek your face this morning. Let it be none of me but all of you, as we declare and decree this word to your people. We want to come out of Deuteronomy chapter 8. And the topic today is, all God requires is a heart of obedience and submission. A heart of obedience and a heart that is submitted to him. A heart that is submitted to him. We ask God blessing over the airways, over the north, the south, the east, and the west. We pray that the people that come today would have a ear to hear and a heart to receive, that they would not just be critics, but they'd be ones that are hungry and thirsty for righteousness. Amen. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, Moses speaks to the people of God. And he said, all the commandments which I command you this day, you shall be watchful to them, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to give to your fathers. Moses said to them very clearly that they need to obey the commands of the Lord. I mean, he made it very clear. He said, all the commandments that I am commanding you today, you must diligently observe so that you may live and multiply, and you may go and take possession of the land that God swore to your ancestors, Yahweh swore to your ancestors, and you shall remember all of the way that Yahweh, your God, led you during these 40 years in the desert in order to humble you, in order to humble you and to test you to know what is in your heart, whether you would diligently keep his commandments or not. See, God sometimes would allow you to go through some tests. He would allow you to go through some tests so he can see. I mean, he knows, but he wants to see how you would operate. Will you just give up and say, I'm done, I'm finished, I no longer want to be part of what God is doing, I'm going to do my own thing, but not what God wants you to do it, or how God wants you to do it. Yes, you decide that you're going to do your own thing. A lot of people do that. I've done it several times, you know. But we have to listen to the Spirit of God and allow the Spirit of God to lead us. A lot of people don't understand the Spirit. They understand the flesh because they've been living in the flesh for all their life. Hallelujah. Moses says, and he humbled you and let you go hungry. Then he fed you with that which you did not know, nor did your ancestors know, in order to make you know that not by bread only, but by all that goes out of the mouth of God, humble humankind shall live. Remember when Jesus was in the wilderness and he was fasting 40 days and 40 nights. After he came out of the wilderness, he was led by the Spirit to be tested. And the first thing that he tried to test him with, was turning stones into bread. How many of you know that as soon as you get out to fast, and I always say, as soon as you come off of fasting, the devil going to test you. And a lot of times he'll use your family members to test you. They don't know that they're being used by the devil because they don't understand the spirit world. Most of our family members don't understand the spirit world. They know the natural world. They know what they see and what they can hear. Hallelujah. It's only by walking and studying the word of God that we understand the spirit world. And here in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, Jesus came out of the wilderness. This is the first test. And the Bible says, but he answered and said, it is written. Let's say he came out of the wilderness. And when he came out of the wilderness, then was Jesus led of the spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. In other words, he was hungry. And when the tempter came, the devil, to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. You see what he said? The devil tested him, trying to get him to turn the stone into bread, because the devil knew he was fasting. He was talking to Father God in the wilderness. And he became hungry. He's fasting. So his belly is touching the back. He is hungry. But Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. It is the word of God that gives us spiritual life. You say, but I need some fried chicken. I need some spare ribs. I need some hamburgers and hot dogs and all the necessary things that the flesh needs. But Jesus says that man shall not live by bread alone. So we must get this into our understanding that it's not going to all you can eat, the Chinese restaurant or the American all you can eat Outback Steakhouse. No, it's not that that's going to suffice you. It's not that that's going to keep you. That's going to keep you for a little while. Then you're going to have to go to the bathroom a couple of times. It's going to come out of the drought. But it is the word that you put into your spirit, man, that's going to sustain you to stand against the wiles of the enemy. Now here in Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 13, he says, all who fear the Lord will hate evil. Therefore, I hate pride and arrogance, corruption and perverse speech. Hear what the King Solomon is saying. See, when we get to the time, to the place in our walk with Christ that we begin to hate evil, we'll begin to talk different. Walk different. Our life will have a different focus. What's going on around us don't bother us anymore. We're not concerned with the stuff that's going on. Because all this stuff that's going on is only temporal. It's only temporal. So we are connected to everlasting life, eternity. We are connected in the spirit realm. This is where our life is. Our life is in the spirit. Yes, we are carrying this earthly body, this clear body, but the real body is inside this clear house, this clear building. So we have to feed it. We have to feed the spirit man. Understand, hear what he's saying. So you must, verse 6 says, let's go back to verse 5. And you should know with your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so Yahweh God, so Yahweh your God is disciplining you. So you must keep the commandments of Yahweh your God by walking in his ways and by fearing him or reverencing. Hallelujah. So we must walk in obedience because this is what he's calling for. Hallelujah. We cannot allow the world to take us out of our walk, take us out of our focus. And it's very easy sometimes to get out of focus because this is what the world does. It has this thing that it can put on us that will take us out of focus, and we find ourselves tossing and turning. This is what the world does. We have to ask God from day to day to help us to focus on the things that would keep us honoring him. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 33 says, stay on the path that the Lord your God has commanded you to follow. Then you will live long and prosperous lives in the land you are about to enter and occupy. If we stay on the path that God has commanded us, We are going to conquer the land. We're going to take over. Do you hear what he says? But there's an assignment. We must stay on the path. We can't go off the path. If we go off the path, we will not reach our destiny. Hallelujah. And the enemy comes to kill, steal, and to destroy, but Jesus came that we would have life and have it more abundantly. But to get this abundant life, or to, oh God, to access this abundant life, we must stay on the path. Glory to God, my esophagus is kind of clearing up. Now here in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 7 says, "For Yahweh your God is bringing you to a good land with streams of water, springs and underground water, welling up in the valleys and in the hills, to a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranate trees, a land of olive trees, olive oil and honey, to a land where you may eat food in it without scarcity. You will not find anything lacking in it. A land where its stones are iron, and from its mountains you can mine copper." He says, "And you will eat, and you will be satisfied, and you will bless Yahweh your God because of the good land that he has given to you." God wants to bless us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. His objective is to bless his people. Hallelujah. Here in this word, we see that he gave us a command. Deuteronomy chapter 1, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1 to 20. Deuteronomy chapter 8 continues the emphasis on exclusive loyalty to God, Yahweh. The concern in this chapter is that prosperity might weaken Israel's resolve to depend on Yahweh. Israel history once again provides the backdrop for confronting this potential problem. The Israelites should know by now that their success in the land depends on their God. The prime example in this chapter is Yahweh's provisions of manna in the wilderness. Chapter 8, verse 2, 11, 14, 18 to 19. And Exodus chapter 16, verse 31 to 35. All of the commandments, a reference to all the body of commandments delineated throughout the book of Deuteronomy. Yahweh swore to your ancestors, that's the forefathers, the promises of the Abrahamic covenant, Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 3, we read that yesterday, are once again linked to obedience to the laws of God, Yahweh, Exodus 34. The familiar theme has already appeared in the Pentateuch, or the law, Leviticus chapter 26. We did some of that yesterday. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 26 to 28. Deuteronomy chapter, and also verse 40. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 30 to 33. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16 to 19. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 12. With manna, Yahweh provided for Israel. He provided for Israel's needs in the wilderness with manna in Exodus chapter 16, verse 15. Exodus 16, verse 31 to 35. Some have argued that matter was a natural occurring food. Even if this was the case, its provisions for nearly 40 years were supernatural, Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 4. He says here in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 4, your clothing did not wear out on you, and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. And verse 5 says, and you should know with your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so God, Yahweh, your God, is disciplining you. God provides for the Israelites everything that they needed. And he's providing for us everything that we need. Israel hunger and want in the desert function as a test into their faith and as a lesson. Yahweh gave the Israelites manna to reinforce the knowledge that he would provide, verse 16. The prohibition against hoarding had the same purpose. Violators of this prohibition lack faith in God. See, sometimes we want to store up. We still do it here today. We want to store up everything that we can store up, not trusting in God that he will provide for us. We say, I got to have all this, and if I don't have that, you know, we can't give to people because we say, this is the last thing, this is all that I have. This is what we say, this is all that I have. I got to make my car payment. I got to make my house payment. I got to pay my electric bill, my water bill, my gas bill. And we say, well, if I don't do that, I'm not going to be able to keep my car. I'm not going to be able to stay in the house. You understand? And God has already told us that he'll provide for us. This is what he says. Their clothes did not wear out. Their shoes did not wear out. They didn't lack anything in the wilderness. We read that in verse 4. Their feet did not swell. 40 years in the wilderness, walking back and forth, going round and around. Their sandals did not wear out. Hallelujah, glory to God. Rather than being purely punitive, the wilderness wandering was a learning experience for Israel. Exodus chapter 16, verse 4. Exodus chapter 20 and 20. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and 16. Deuteronomy 13 and 3. The father-son analogy places discipline in the context of love. Proverbs 3, verse 11 and 12. From this mountain you can mine copper. God had already provided everything that the Israelites needed to prosper. Copper, iron, gold, silver, everything was prepared for them, provided for them. He said, can you be found within Kenya and the Transjordan? Take care for yourself so that you do not forget. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1 to 20. Disobedience is equivalent to forgetting what God has done for them. Sometimes we as African Americans, when we come up, we know we came into this world with nothing. And we were brought up, most of us, poor in poor neighborhoods. And as we start to prosper, we get the BMW, the Lexus, the Mercedes-Benz, Cadillac, the Lincoln Navigators, and all of these fine vehicles we get, the Bentleys and the Rolls Royce, and the gold watches and stuff, and we get the fine clothes, the shark skin suits and the alligators, crocodile shoes, and all this stuff that we start to get. We tend to forget that it's God who has blessed us with these things. And we don't want to fellowship at the church anymore. We don't want to fellowship with our brothers and sisters anymore because now we have the fine house, the nice four-car garage, swimming pool, and five, six, seven-bedroom house, three and a half baths. You know, we have everything working in our favor in the natural. So we forget the spiritual. He told them, from his mountains you can mine copper and iron and can be found in Cana at the Transjordan. He said, take care of for yourself so that you not forget. And we know that disobedience is as witchcraft. We know this. Hallelujah. This is why God prefer obedience, not sacrifice. We sometimes would say, well, I don't have to go down to the church. I just send them a love offering. No, God wants your presence. Yes, your money helps the church. It helps the pastor to do things for the church. But God needs your presence. He needs your spirit. He needs your worship. Hallelujah. God needs you to worship him. Come and bow down before him. We get rich now. We are prospering. So we feel as long as we are prospering, we don't have to go to the house. He says in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22 and 23. Listen what he says. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? He asked Saul a question, King Saul. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken or to listen to hear than the fats of ram. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Do you hear what he said to the king? He said it's to King Saul. King Saul was king. God has put him in that office because they wanted a king. And God gave them King Saul. But now Saul now is getting too big for his britches. He forget that it's God who gave him that position. Hallelujah. He forget that it's God. And we do that when we begin to prosper and we get the fine home and we live in the nice, quiet neighborhood. There's not a lot of shootings. There's not a lot of killings. Not a lot of breaking and entering. You understand? In our neighborhood. So we feel like we have arrived. We forget about the one who brought us the distance. We forget about him. We say, well, I don't have to worry about him, but God. I'm doing fine. I don't have to worry that somebody going to shoot me. My neighborhood is quiet. These people are good in this neighborhood. This is what it is. He warned him. Don't you forget. In Numbers chapter 21. Let's go there. Let me get my King James right because I'm here on the three computers. But let's get this. This is so powerful right here. Numbers 21. Let's see here. Numbers. Glory to God. 21. Come up here. 21 and verse 6. Let's start at verse 4. Then the people of Israel set out from the Mount Hor, taking the road to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. But the people grew impatient with the long journey, and they began to speak against God and Moses. You hear what? You hear that? The people began to get weary. tired of the long journey. And they begin to become impatient with the long journey. They began to speak against God and Moses. Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die here in the wilderness? They complain. There is nothing to eat here and nothing to drink. And we hear this horrible manna. The people begin to talk against the food that God was sending them from heaven. Manna from heaven. They hear it. So the Lord sent poisonous snakes among the people, and many were bitten and died. Then the people came to Moses and cried out, "We have sinned by speaking against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take away the snakes." So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord told him, "Make a replica of a poisonous snake and attach it to a pole. All who are bitten will live if they simply look at it." So Moses made a snake out of bronze and attached it to the pole. Then anyone who was bitten by a snake could look at the bronze snake and be healed. The people murmured, complained against God and against his prophet. Be careful when you open your mouth and talk against God's servant. It references back to Numbers 21 and 6, where the Israelites encountered poisonous snakes that bit and killed many. Deliverance from this affliction came from Moses' construction of a bronze snake and the people's adherence to God's command that they look upon it. Sometimes we open our mouths and we say things about the man of God, the woman of God, and now we think we push our chest up because we think that we're in control. We don't realize that we're speaking against God's servants. We think they're just merely men and women. And then when we begin to get sick and we almost going to die, we have to go back to the man or to a man or woman of God to pray for us so we can overcome. The people begin to complain that they didn't have no water to drink, no bread to eat. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3 to 5, God's supernatural provisions is once again highlighted. God not only delivered Israel from trials and affliction, he also provided for their basic needs. You can see this same action, Exodus chapter 7 and verse 6. Exodus chapter 7. Exodus chapter 17 and verse 6. "Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb. And thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massa and Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel. And because they tempted the Lord, saying, 'Is the Lord among us or not?' The people continued to murmur and complain again." Didn't have no water, didn't have no food. Not trusting God. That's in Numbers chapter 20, verse 11, Exodus chapter 17, verse 6, Psalms 78 and verse 15. God made a covenant with Abraham. Isaac and Jacob, the forefathers. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 3. Genesis chapter 15, verse 1 to 6 and 18. Genesis 28 and 13. Genesis 35 and 12. Genesis 48 and 21. All of these scriptures that you can look up and see. The people begin to go after other gods. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. And God warned them. See, God never let us go out and act simple without knowing what the repercussion is going to be, what the result is going to be. Genesis, Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is God, is the Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thy eyes. They put them on their forehead. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thine house and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, Abraham, and to Isaac and Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not. See, once we keep the word of God, once we adhere to what God is saying, we are going to have all the things that God has already promised us. He promised to bless us in the city and bless us in the field. He promised to bless us when we come and bless us when we go. Let's finish up this. Hallelujah. You will surely perish. Obedience is one, again, linked to life and secure possessions of this land of abundance. The address to Israel. God has made this so clear for us to live and to receive. Let's go to Exodus chapter 16. Exodus chapter 16 and verse 31 to 35. Thanks, bless you, name of the Lord. 31 to 35. Exodus chapter 16. And the house of Israel called the name thereof Manah. And it was the coriander seed, and the taste of it was like wafer made with honey. And Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commandeth. Fill an omer of it to keep for your generation, that they may see the bread wherewith I have fed you in the wilderness when I brought you forth from the land of Egypt. And Moses said unto Aaron, take a pot and put an omer full of manna therein, and lay it up before the Lord to be kept for your generations. And the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron, so Aaron laid it up before the testimony to be kept. And the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years until they came to a land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came unto the borders of the land of Canaan. No, an omer is the tenth part of an ephah, one bushel. Glory to God. Moses told him how to remember what the Lord has done for them. Let us go over to Genesis chapter 12 and put this inside here. Just got a few more scriptures to give you, and then I got to go back to packing my, getting my suitcase ready, because I can't wait till the last day to get the suitcase together. I got to finish it. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 3. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee, and in thy name, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now you see this, Abraham had to leave his family. He was 70 years old, and he had to trust God, believe in what God was saying to him. His family was rich. They weren't poor people. But God commanded him to get out from his family. Why? Because they were idol worshipers. Sometimes you're around people that are dibbing and dabbing in witchcraft. They're in the church. They go to church. But you know they go to the palm reader. You know they go to the crystal ball reader. You know that they read the tarot cards. You know all this stuff. They can't leave home. And I used to be like this. I couldn't leave home unless when I was living back in Barbados. I couldn't leave home without seeing the newspaper because the horoscopes were written in the newspaper, was typed out in the newspaper. So I had to see the newspaper in order to be sure that the stars was lining up for me. How should I go? If the stars weren't saying what I wanted to hear, I didn't leave the house. I stay in the house. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 4. I stay in the house. And you have people in the church today that still do that. They got to read the horoscopes. They got to read, have their palms read. You have people that, Christian folks that go to the psychics. Because they want to know what's going on in their life. They don't trust what God is saying. And God is speaking to us all the time. Not that we are perfect, but he speaks to us because he loves us. And he wants us to do the things that pleases him. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 26 to 28. And then we jump down to verse 40. He says, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day, that you soon utterly perish from off the land whereunto you go over Jordan to possess it. You shall not prolong your days upon it, but shall surely, utterly be destroyed. And the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and you shall be left few in number among the heathens, whither the Lord shall lead thee. And there you shall serve gods, the works of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see, nor hear, nor eat, nor smell. Listen. He said that they should serve gods. These are wooden gods. Gods made from wood, made from iron, made from steel, made from brass, made from gold. Made from natural stuff, gods that cannot see, cannot hear, cannot talk. Verse 40 says, thou shalt keep therefore his statutes and his commandments which I command thee this day, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee, and that thou mayest prolong thy days upon the earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee forever. Moses tell them that if they don't obey the Lord, that they will die. And then he come back and tell them that if they obey, if they keep his commandments, that they should live. Deuteronomy chapter 5. This is very easy. A lot of times we're missing the commands of God, the instruction of God, because we are a New Testament church. We're under grace. So the people don't, most of the preachers, the bishops and apostles and pastors and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, they don't preach from the Old Testament. Most of them just preach New Testament preaching. Just preach a New Testament church preaching. So you don't know what God requires of you. You don't know. You say, well, this is what the preacher preached, and I'm happy, I'm gay, I'm all this stuff. And then the preacher tell you, come as you are. It doesn't matter. You just keep coming, Lord. You come to church, you're good. You are saved. You're all right. So you keep going to church, you gay, you're homosexual, you're lesbian, you're stealing, you're cussing, you're gambling, you're fornicating, you're committing adultery. All these stuff you're doing that God tell you shouldn't do. But the preacher not telling you this stuff. The preacher tell you, just keep coming to church, pay your tithes, partake of Holy Communion. Just keep coming to church. You're all right. But God says that you have some commands that you must follow. And he stressed on these commands that you must follow. He says, if we don't follow these commands, we will die. He said, we will not prosper. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It doesn't mean that you're not going to get sick from time to time, but he says, I will heal you. But if you don't follow the commands and keep the commands, he says, you will surely die, and you're not going to prosper. You might get some money today, but it's not going to last for you. You'll find yourself have to spend the same money to pay all this stuff. All this stuff is breaking down. Your car's breaking down. Your water heater in the house is broken. My God, your refrigerator is broken. The furnace gets broken. All this stuff is going out because you are not obeying God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And God is saying for us to obey him, and we should prosper. It's a very simple, simple request that if we obey him, we will prosper. Well, we are not prospering. We are not prospering because we obeyed him. We are not listening to what he said to do. He told us exactly what we need to do to prosper. You don't have to be a rocket scientist. He said, do these things and you should prosper. Do these things and you should live long life. Not a scarce life, but a long life. Deuteronomy chapter, I said Deuteronomy chapter 5? Chapter 5, okay. Let's start at verse 30. Chapter 5. That's a few more scriptures we finish. Go, say to them, get you into your tents again. God talking to Moses and telling Moses what to tell the people. He says, but as for thee, stand thou here by me, and I will speak unto thee all the commandments. Not some. He tells Moses, tell the people to go get into their tents. They can't look upon God. Hallelujah. But go get in their tents. That's what he tells Moses to tell them. He tells Moses, you just stand by me. Moses can't see his face, but he says, stand by me. In other words, stand in my presence. Stay in my presence, Moses. And he says, I will speak unto thee all, not some, but all the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which thou shalt teach them, that they may do them in the land which I give them to possess it. And you shall observe to do therefore as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live. See, we got to, we can't just obey some commandments. Got to obey all the commandments that we should live. He says, and that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess. You don't, just don't want to come in the land. You just don't want to possess stuff, and then all of a sudden the stuff gone. All of a sudden you got a new car, and the next day you're in a bad accident, the car is total. And now you're in the hospital fighting for your life. Why? Because you wouldn't obey all the commands of the Lord. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. You're right there. Deuteronomy chapter 6, and let's start at verse 16. You shall not tempt the Lord your God as you tempted him and Massa in the wilderness. So don't you tempt the Lord. You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his testimonies and his statutes which he has commanded thee. Verse 18 says, and thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, and that it may be well, listen to this, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest be, that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers. Verse 19 says, to cast out all thy enemies from before thee, as the Lord has spoken. See, the Lord will fight for you. The battle is not yours, it's the Lord. He will fight for us if we obey him, if we reverence him, if we follow according to his words. Last scripture, Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 12. 7 and 12. Wherefore it shall come to pass, if you hearken, if you listen, if you obey to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he sware unto thy father. We are wondering why there's so much stuff going on in the earth realm right now. We are wondering why so many people are being shot down. We are wondering why there's so much accidents. You're wondering if the people can't drive. Why are they getting in so much accidents? Well, because they have rejected God. They have disobeyed his commands. Do you hear me today? They have disobeyed his commands. They refuse to follow his commands. They think that his commands are futile. They're not worthy. Oh, we can do what we want to do when we want to do it. We don't have to follow God. That's what they're saying. We don't have to follow what God is saying. We can do what we want to do. We are our own gods. Isn't that what they say in the book of Ezekiel? We are our own gods. And then they get to the point where they say, God can't even see where we are. He can't even see what we're doing. So we can do what we want to do when we want to do it, however we want to do it. That's what they're saying. So what do we get? When we do what we do, we get the results from what we're doing. I have some pineapples growing in my garden. I have some ginger. I have some parsley, some peppermint. I have some cucumbers. I have these things growing in my backyard, in my gardens. And I have some beets. Hallelujah. And some garlic, thyme growing back there. Why? Because I have planted the seeds. I got some orange, some lemons coming up, lemon trees coming up. Why are they coming up? Because I plant them. And I'm watering them. I'm taking care of them. I give them fertilizer so they can have nourishment to live. Well, that's what you need. That's what we need. We need nourishment. We need fertilizer from God. We need to obey what God is saying. His word is the fertilizer for us, for our soul. We have to get it in. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We don't want it. We want the product, but we don't want to go through the process. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this word. We thank you for this word that you have given us, and we ask that you bless the earwigs, those that came on. Bless Brother Deacon Fraser, Lord. Bless him for his faithfulness that come with us. Yesterday, Apostle Stuart was on with us. We thank you for these men that come on to hear the word of God. And we thank you for those that download the word so that they have the word. We pray, Father God, know that you enrich all of us as we listen to your word. And Father, now as we get ready to leave this line, we ask you to bless those that don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Bless them, Lord. Bless them that they might, oh God, come and ask, what must I do to be saved? And Father, we pray for the one that don't know Jesus today, that as they open their hearts to you today, that you may enter in today, that they might sup with you today, Lord, that they might sup, that they might eat and drink of that manna, that good manna that only come from you. Oh, Father, we thank you and we praise you, oh God. We bless your name for all that you have done for us, all that you are doing for us, and all that you can do for us. In the mighty name of Jesus. Now, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we ask you to give your life to him today. Okay? If you don't know him, give your life to him today. Today is a good day. Tomorrow is not promised. But today is the day. He said, if you hear his voice, harden up your heart. Don't be stubborn. Harden up your heart. If you hear the call today of salvation, give your life to Jesus. You hear me? Give your life to him. Let him heal. Let him deliver you. Let him restore you. Because that's what he wants to do. He don't want to do anything else. All he wants to do is heal you and restore you. So say, Lord Jesus, I heard the word today. I believe the word today. Word truly is a lamp, looking a lamp onto my feet. Yes. Word of God says, but in my heart, that God raised you from the dead, I will be saved. I believe in my heart and I'm confessing with my mouth right now. According to Romans chapter 10, verse 9, 10, and 11. It says, if I believe that I will be saved. If I pray that I'm open the heart, go to the heart, I'm inviting the coming. Before the act stupid, I'm not saved. I don't believe. Before you get baptized, you want to call up your family members, your co-workers, and even your enemies, because you want them, you want to have witnesses of this great, the greatest day of your life. I tell you, I cannot say enough about being baptized. because I remember the day that I was baptized. I always remember that day. Hallelujah, because I never experienced a day like that since that day. You know, I got high before, but it was nothing to compare. It was not a high to compare to the high of the Holy Ghost, you know, if you want to call it that way. But I tell you, when he came in and filled my heart with his presence, all I could do was just take off running. I couldn't do nothing else because that's all I knew to do, which was run. Run and, scream and rejoice. So when you go down in that water, consider that you're going down in a liquid grave. Understand that. Excuse me. But you're leaving everything. You're leaving everything in that grave. Everything that's not like God. You're leaving in that grave. But when you come up out that grave, you're coming up with everything that Christ has given you. Righteousness, holiness. Oh my God, you're coming up filled with his presence. So I thank God for you all that received the gift of salvation and you all that will receive later. I want you all to find a church that is teaching and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and get yourself involved in ministry. Okay? God bless you. I love you. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit continue to rest and abide upon us. And surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life as we dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Remember to tell someone that God loved them, you love them, and Jesus is the only way. It may be the word that you speak in somebody's ear today that will make all the difference in their lives. It may stop someone from committing suicide. It may stop someone from committing murder, from kidnapping a child, raping a child, sodomizing a child, or even breaking into someone's home and committing some heinous crime. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, he said, let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify the Father in heaven. That just means that you will let the attributes of Jesus Christ be seen in your life. In everything that you say and everything that you do, it would be seen, saying that you are a child of God. Remember, and Father, we pray that the blessings of Abraham would overtake us. Bless us in the city, bless us in the field, bless us when we come and bless us when we go. God, continue to make us the head and not the tail. Set us above and not beneath. Make us the lenders and not the borrowers. We pray, Father God, that, Lord, the blessing will come so that we can be a blessing to someone if that's less fortunate than us. Someone that cannot even bless us in return. But God, we pray, Lord God, that we be able to bless them financially and spiritually. Lord, we pray for Pastor Washington and Bishop Washington. We pray for Apostle Millie Jefferson. We pray for Apostle Stuart, Pastor Willie Brown, Pastor Randis Brown. We pray for Apostle Millie Jefferson. We pray for Apostle Grant. We pray for Evangelist Sheila. She was on the line the other day, and we thank God for her. She called and had a good conversation with her on the phone, talking about Jesus Christ and what them some preachers she's been listening to has been really good to her. And we thank God for that. We thank God for the awakening of the Spirit. We pray that God would bring us together in worship, oh God, as we praise him, as we bow down before him. We pray that God would allow us to hear his voice even the more, oh God. That as we hear his voice, that we would adhere, oh God, that we would draw closer. We pray that we yield to the things of God and that we love each other just as much as he loves us or even more. Glory to God. God bless you all. Have a blessed day. We'll be back here tomorrow again, delivering a message from the Lord. If you get a chance, come on in and fellowship with us. You know what time we start? We start at 11:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we leave here at 3 o'clock, 3:30 Eastern Standard Time, or when the Holy Ghost says so. When the message is finished, we pray, and we get out. We thank God. We see that Minister Jones just got on, but I got to go over here now, Minister Jones, I got something to do, but we thank God for you all. Thank God for you coming on in. And the message was of obedience today. All God requires is a heart that's obedient and submitted. That means that you have to obey and you have to submit to God, not to man, not to your favorite preacher, not to your favorite church building or choir, but to God. Your submission is to God, not to this preacher, this apostle, this bishop, this body. No, you submit to God and God alone. You don't submit to me because I don't have a heaven or hell to put no one in. Hallelujah. We only submit to each other as accountability so that if we are falling short of the glory that somebody reminded us, well, apostle, you know that you're doing something that you shouldn't be doing. That's what we do. We're accountable to each other. If you have accountability, then you have a relationship. You know, hallelujah. This was all about, it's not about putting down each other, but it's more about pulling up each other when we see a brother or sister falling down. That's what this accountability is about. Hallelujah. A lot of times people don't want accountability. They don't want you to respond. They don't want you to help them because they get defensive. You know, they go into a defensive mode. And we can only get help if we are, if we need it, you know. But if you reject help, you can't get help. Nobody going to give us help if we're rejecting it because we think we get mad with people, you know. And sometimes it's good that sometimes people say stuff that agitate us. Hear what I'm saying? Sometimes it's good that some people God used to agitate us. You hear what I said? To get us upset because that's some area in our lives that God is saying that we need to work on. You know what I'm saying? We get mad, but we don't see the big picture. The big picture is that areas of my life that need to be worked on. And if there don't be trouble, I'll never work on them. And God has to trouble you in some areas of your life. So you start working on it. And this is what God does. And then we become obedient. I was out with my granddaughter and her girlfriend and her boyfriend really agitate my spirit. I'm talking about agitate my spirit, upset me with something that the two of them was doing. It wasn't nothing impure. But it was offensive to me. And that was something the Lord showed me. He says, this is a part of your life that still needs working on. I'm sharing it for you that I don't have to share with you all. But the Lord says, son, this is a part of your life that still needs working on. Because you still allow people to enter into your heart, into your mind, and disturb your spiritual walk. Make you become angry. Instead of you being on top of that, you let that put you under. As the Lord dropped that in my spirit, I tell you, whew, I had to repent and ask God to strengthen me in that area. So when you hear sometimes that you are agitated or upset because somebody says something, instead of getting mad and want to run the people over, just take a look at yourself. Examine your own self and say, maybe God is trying to show me something. Maybe God is telling me something. You know. Maybe God is telling me something. This is the part of my life that I have shut down on. I haven't really examined this area of my life. Maybe I need to look at this a little bit closer. You ever thought about that? Maybe I need to look at this part of my life a little closer. And then you'll find yourself beginning to grow. Hallelujah. Everything is not to make you get into a place of fight and that you got to retreat and you got to throw in the towel. Some places for you to grow. You know. Hallelujah. Well, I would talk to you all on tomorrow. I got to go outside and do something here very quickly in my truck. So I'll talk to you quick. Okay. God bless you. Come on early tomorrow and fellowship with us. God bless. Bye-bye.